in our heart because we're distracted by this or we're bothered by that or we're focused on what we're doing after the service and maybe we're burdened, maybe we're overwhelmed, and I understand those things. Those things are real. I know those things happen, but if we're not careful, we can allow ourselves to be so distracted that we come to the house of God and we forget to worship. So we see here, first of all, as we're going along through here, just making some quick observations of the text, we'll see that Martha was distracted. Then as we read on, you'll see that in verse number 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, and notice this, and heard his word. So we have Martha over here, and she's distracted. Then we've got Mary over here, and she's devoted. For you see, it's not that she didn't want to help. It's not that she didn't want to participate, because in fact, Martha even asked the Lord, say, Lord, would you tell my sister, I'm over here doing all the work, I'm over here in the kitchen, I'm washing all the dishes, I'm doing all the cleaning, would you tell her to come and help me out for just a little bit? Right? But you see, I believe, and as you'll see that Christ mentioned that, Mary had her priorities in the right place. She spent time at the feet of Jesus. And again, we'll come back to that. We're just kind of starting to delve into the text for just a little bit. So we see here that Martha is distracted. We see that Mary shows devotion. And then we see that Christ gave direction. Amen? You notice that Jesus in verse number 41 answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. In verse 42 says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. In other words, the thing that is needed the most. For the record, he wasn't trying to minimize the burdens and the work that she had to do. He never said that what you're doing is wrong. He never said that what you're doing is not needed. I believe what he's saying here is that the one thing that's needed the most has to be a priority. When we come to the house of God, we can be so focused on everything else. I mean, it's actually even harder with ministry leaders or people that have some kind of position of service in the church because they're so focused on that job. We can get so focused on playing the piano. We can get so focused on preparing the announcements. We can get so focused on doing the live stream. We can get so focused on leading in song and all these things. And even though those things are needed, hey, somebody's got to turn the lights on. Somebody's got to play the music. Somebody has got to get things ready. Somebody's got to make sure there's songbooks so that people can engage and involve in the singing and the worship. But friends, let's not ever get to the place where Florence Baptist Church forgets to exalt and magnify the Savior and we forget to spend time at Jesus' feet. And Jesus reminded her by giving her direction. So we see one lady over here that's distracted. We see another one over here. She's devoted, praise God. And then we see that Jesus gave direction. Now what we're going to observe, we're going to look at three things real quick that hopefully will help us tonight by comparing and contrasting. And again, I'm not trying to be critical of Martha. Please don't misunderstand me because, hey, first of all, I'll be honest with you, I've been where Martha's at. As a pastor, sometimes you're making sure, you're sending messages, make sure the air's on. Hey, is the live stream on? Hey, do we have our and all these things. And that's why, for the record, church, I'm never ever trying to be ugly or mean about it. That's why I say, hey, before service, let's try not to bring extra things that could be a distraction. Because I don't know about me personally, I don't have the ability to focus on a lot of things at one time. I can barely focus on one thing at a time. So our mind and our heart does not want to be distracted because God has placed a duty and a burden on us that is to come and to preach and to give you feeding. God help me, church. If I don't come and give you some feeding from the Word of God, God help me. That's not your fault. That's my fault. I've got to be ready spiritually, biblically, and do the duty that God has called us to do. But what I'm telling you, church, is that I'm guilty of being like Martha. I'm guilty of being so distracted by things that need to be done. I'm guilty of saying, hey, you know what? Somebody didn't do this, or this needs to be done, or that needs to be done. And it's easy to get caught up and miss the whole purpose of why we even come to the house of God. So we see that there's two observations that I want to mention as we further get into the message. Martha opened up her home. And that's good. I hope that you have a home that you've opened up to the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you have a home built on the solid rock. In fact, remember that the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Right? I hope that you have allowed God into your home and opened up your home to Jesus, where you have literally invited Christ into your home. Say, Pastor, how do I know if I've invited Christ in your home? Well, there's some things that would be evident in your home. First of all, you have regular time of prayer. Amen. And listen real close. I don't just mean at supper time. I don't just mean for about 10 seconds before you have your meal. Now, I think you should give thanks for the food that God has blessed you with. I think you should ask the blessing on that food. Amen. Although sometimes I've always wondered, Lord, all these desserts and ice cream we're about to have, bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. So we might ought to be careful how we pray, because I haven't figured out how ice cream can be nourishment to our bodies. I love it, and it's a blessing. I just don't know how it can be nourishment, Chuck. I mean, amen. But what I'm saying, friend, is that's good. I hope you at least give thanks for the food that God has provided for you, because there's a lot of folks that don't have something to be thankful for. So how do I know, Pastor, if I've invited Jesus into my home? Well, it's going to be evident by your prayer life. Just for the record, church, on Sunday mornings, we've got a little mini-series that we're doing on the substance of prayer. I want to encourage, if you can be here, 9 o'clock. Amen. Be part of it. But, so first of all, one of the things that I believe would be evidence of inviting Christ in your home would be your prayer life. The second part would also be your reading of the Word of God. You know, when you're getting into the Scriptures, when you're studying the Bible, and people study different ways. They read at different times. They get maybe it's best for you to read early or in the evening. I've done both. Whatever it is, however your schedule works, you know, it's evident that you invite and you make time to get into the Bible and read the Word of God on a daily basis. I hope and pray that the last time you didn't open up the Scriptures was the last service, right? I hope that not the next time you read something from the Bible is not going to be Wednesday night again when we open up our text again. So that's another evident. Now here's another thing that would make it evident that you haven't invited him. By some of the things that we watch. Now this is just a thought. This is just a question, because we all have to ask ourselves this, including me. What would Christ say? If we've invited Jesus into our home about the things that we hear and the things that we watch and the things that we allow to come into our mind and our hearts and our ears, would Christ approve of those things? I'm not here to tell you which ones are and which. I'm just asking you, between you and the Lord, between you and your relationship with Him, can you honestly say, well, I know that this would be Christ's honor after I watch this series of such and such, right? It's also amazing to me to say, well, Pastor, I don't have time to read my Bible, but yet we can watch a marathon on Netflix, and boy, we can get through that thing in a couple of days. But we never manage to find time to read our Bibles. I'm just preaching tonight, just a little bit. You know, I'm not even gonna go by and ask you, right? But I mean, you say, well, Pastor, I can't do a marathon. But you can on a TV series, right? Maybe you can't run one physically. These are just thoughts, church, that would be evident that you've invited Christ in your home, because you know and I know that if Jesus was literally sitting there with you, there's a lot of things that you would do differently in your home. There's a lot of things that you would say differently in your home. I mean, if you're talking about Jesus literally, physically, in the flesh, He's there spiritually, for the record, but if physically was in the flesh, probably all of us here would do things differently. There's no point in sweeping things under the rug. He knows what's under the rug. I mean, He knows the dirt. He created that dirt. He knows that it's there. All I'm saying is, if we were honest with ourselves, if we really thought Jesus was going to knock on our door and come to our home, we would probably do things differently. What we're seeing is that Martha invited Jesus into her home. But you know what I appreciate about Mary? She invited Jesus into her heart. And there's a difference there. Now, I'm not saying that Martha didn't receive Christ as Savior. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that she was in a place of worship. She had a desire to put Christ in his proper place. And it wasn't just about, you know, fixing a meal. It wasn't just about inviting Jesus over to the house. Hey, she really, really wanted to put Christ in his proper place. Sort of where Colossians 1:18 says that he must be the preeminence in our life, which means first in rank or influence. That means he's number one. And that's what Mary did. So we see that Martha opened up her home, and that's great. But if we're going to open up our home, let's also open up our hearts to receive what it is that God wants us to receive and get what it is that he wants us to get. So first of all, as we're looking at the message tonight, I said all that just to get to the outline. It's not very long, okay? Don't worry. I know some of y'all got some bologna and crackers to get to after church, and you just can't wait. Number one tonight, we'll see that often, because we're dealing really with distractions, okay? That we're distracted by life. We are distracted by life. Did you notice that Jesus said in verse 41, and Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha." Now, if the Lord says your name one time, I grew up. I'm surprised I made it. Listen, there's times I got beat. Some of y'all don't know what a beating is. Probably some of the older generation does. But I still grew up in a way where I got beat a few times. Miss Sarah, my mom even killed me one time. Amen? And I came back. Amen? Let me tell you this story, and you'll understand what I'm saying. I remember getting invited to sit with a friend. And my mom would always tell me, "No, you can't sit with that boy. You'll get in trouble." "Mom, I'll be good. I promise I'll be good." Keep in mind, I'm 9-10 years old. "Mom, I'll be good. I promise I'll be good." And finally she says, "All right, you better behave. I'm going to let you go over and sit with so-and-so." So I'm over sitting with so-and-so, and so-and-so has the big, I forget what it was, that baseball. Remember that gum that used to be all stringy? Yeah, what they call that chew? Big league chew, that's it. He had some of that. And I took a big chaw of that, put that in my mouth, started chewing on that, and that wasn't even as much the problem. I started popping it. I used to love to see how big of a bubble I could blow. And little did I know, Mom was going to about to burst my bubble. Amen. And here's what happened. Hey, listen, I'm just telling you. Mom come by. I did pop a big one, Chuck. My mom had enough. I'm sitting. She's on that side of the church. I'm sitting over here. She got up during the preaching. And she walked over to me and jerked me up out of my chair, took the gum out of my mouth, and smacked me in the mouth in front of God and the preacher and everybody else in the church. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that I ever chewed gum in church again? No, I didn't. I didn't. I never did that again, right? Nevertheless, that's what happened. You know, I got beat. I don't even know how I got on that story. You guys got me all distracted now, talking about distractions. But what I'm trying to say, church, is that we all do get distracted. I had caused the distraction in the church. And you know, honestly, from that point on, I learned a lesson that, you know what, maybe I should think about not being a distraction. Or not allowing myself to be a distraction. But what we do allow to happen is we allow things to distract us. Now, I mentioned earlier about phones. They can be a distraction. And really, it probably shouldn't be a distraction, but it is. So we ought to do all of our part to not be a distraction to somebody else, right? Now, I'm not going to jerk you up and smack your mouth and do all that, okay? But getting back to what we're saying here, folks, Martha was distracted. She allowed what Christ told her, he said, "Martha, Martha." You know, it's almost like he's putting emphasis. I think that's what I was trying to say. There's times where I knew I was in trouble. If my name was repeated twice, I better listen. Or if my name was given the whole way, "Jaime Luis Sicairos, get in here." That wasn't good. Okay, that wasn't good. But if you notice here, that's like Jesus was saying, he didn't just call her. It's like, I honestly believe in this occasion, he really was trying to show her love and compassion. I think that he was trying to give her a greater lesson. And it's like he said, Martha, listen for just a second. I don't believe that he was necessarily trying to punish her, like I got myself in trouble. But it was like, Martha, Martha, listen up for just a second. And then watch what he says. Martha, Martha, thou art careful. Careful in the Bible is the same thing as worried or stressed. There's another place that says, cast all your care. Same word. Upon him, for he cares for you. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now there's some that may be here tonight. You're worried about some things. You're troubled about some things. And I understand that. I'm not saying they're not real. I mean, we talked this morning about real things that people deal with and surviving depression today. I know they're real. They're real things that people deal with. And Jesus is right. You're careful and you're troubled about many things. But you're missing the main thing. And that's what I'm trying to encourage this church. That's what I'm trying to get us to think about, is that if we are not careful, it's not just administrative duties that can distract us, but it's also the things that we're dealing with in life. You know, I've always kind of found it interesting. One of the most popular reasons that people will say when they leave a church is they'll say, well, I wasn't being fed. Is it because there was no feeding at the church? Right? Now listen, everybody has preference on preachers. Everybody has preference of style, delivery. I get that. But if we're honest with ourselves, friend, it doesn't matter who's expounding on the Word of God. If they're preaching and teaching out of the book, out of the Word of God, you can get something out of it. You can get some. Now, it might not be your favorite. I get that. I have personal ones that I like to listen to. I get it. But if you really listen, if they're preaching out of the Word, now, if they're preaching something contrary to the Word of God, then, hey, listen, I get that. You need to get them to go somewhere else. But if they're preaching out of the book, you can get something out of it. Right? I realize that, hey, the more you preach, the more you teach, you become more skilled, you learn. You grow. I get all that. I understand that. But we can start to get things out of it. But what I'm saying is that oftentimes we'll let delivery style be a distraction. We'll let life be a distraction. We'll let problems at home be a distraction. We'll let all these things, one little thing that's bugging us, as somebody said, be a distraction, and we miss the whole reason why we're here. And I believe that Jesus was trying to teach Martha a lesson. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. So we see that oftentimes we are distracted by life. You can plug in there whatever you want. Second of all, it's important to know that distractions hinder worship. Distractions hinder worship. It's not that Jesus was saying that her problems weren't real and the work that she was doing wasn't valid. I believe that Christ was concerned that these distractions that she has allowed to come into her life are hindering her from truly worshiping. Church, I've never had a desire to just go through the motions. I struggle with that. I cannot. I cannot struggle, or I can't just go and just pretend like we're having church. If something's not right, then we're going to try our best to address it. If something needs to be improved on, then we need to try to fix it. I'm just telling you, I can't just come and do the same thing all the time and never allow the Holy Spirit of God to work and never allow us to truly worship. And for the record, church, we sometimes I believe that we probably need to be a little bit more vocal in our worship. Hey, if we're excited about the things of God, then let the Lord know every now and then. You know, we sometimes sit back and say, well, that's just not my personality. I promise you, if we dig deep enough, you'll find something to raise your voice about. Maybe not in a good way, but every single one of us is passionate about something. And if we dig long enough and hard enough, we will find that, oh boy, that's the button right there. That's what gets them to get a little emotional or a little hey, friend, I'm not saying that you ought to put on a show, but hey, if God's blessed you, and say amen every now and then. Amen. So show a little bit more. Hey, I'm okay with lifting up a hand during a song. Boy, that's a blessing to me. Praise God. I thank God for that song, or I thank God for that message, whatever the case may be. But friend, what I'm just trying to tell you is that sometimes we can be so distracted by everything else that it affects and hinders our worship. Then the last thing I want to mention there, I told you it wasn't going to be long once we got to this place. There was the distractions, or we're distracted by life. Second of all, the distractions hinder our worship. And then, of course, thirdly, distractions miss the main purpose. And that's what Christ says, the one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Mary hath chosen, in other words, and then he said, don't take that away from her. Amen? Don't take that away from her. Mary hath chosen that good part. You know what I love about the Word of God when we dig into the Bible, when we start to preach and teach, is that generally speaking, we come to a place where there's a decision that has to be made, a choice that has to be made. And friend, that's really where we're going to end up at even this evening, is that at some point you are going to decide, okay, I'm going to learn to come to the house of God, and I'm not going to let all this, I'm going to put all those things aside for just a little while. I'm not going to do anything else but listen and have my mind and my heart open to what it is that thus saith the Lord for today. Friend, I believe truly with all my heart, God gives us these things for a reason and a purpose. I believe that when we come to the house of God, we ought to be challenged. But if we're so distracted, then we're missing out on the purpose. You're missing out on God working on your heart. You're missing out on the worship. You're missing out on the chance and the opportunity to learn and to grow and to better ourselves for the glory of God. So, Pastor, am I supposed to change things in my life? Scripturally speaking, I believe that you do. If you look at the principle where Christ in John chapter 15 teaches about fruit, he talked about bearing fruit, then more fruit, then much fruit. That's a progression. You ever notice when you first plant a tree, it takes a couple of years for it to start producing fruit, right? And then you start to see a few apples, or you start to see, you know, around here, lemon trees. I remember my uncle describing the first year he planted lemon trees, the first year he only had just but a few. Then the next year it had more. Then in that last couple of years, it's had an abundance of lemons on there. Right? I like lemons. It reminds me of a lot of people that sit in the pews. I'm going to start planting lemons in different seats and say, hey, is that what you are, is lemon? I'm just kidding, guys. That's just to make you smile just a little bit. But that tree, as it grows and matures, starts to produce more fruit. You know, that tree had to change its form in order to start to get to the place to produce old fruit or more fruit. Friend, the same old habits produce the same old results. You can't expect to get to the place where you're bearing more or growing more or learning more if you do the same exact thing, come to the house of God, go through the same charade. Most of our Baptists are good at this. Sit in the exact same spot. Amen. And don't you dare let somebody else sit over there. That's my seat. What? I didn't see your name on it. You know what we need to do one of these services? We're going to come here and we're going to do what's called a fruit basket. We're going to pick up everybody on this side and move them over there. And we're even going to move Chuck Bucks, whether he likes it or not. Move him right over here. We're going to move Miss Sarah to the front. We're going to just move everything around just to mix it up. Because, hey, listen, that's my spot. That's my seat. Honestly, I'm not upset for folks grabbing the same seat. I'm really not. I'm just making a point that we go through the same thing and do the same thing over and over and over. Hey, did you notice the order of service was a little bit different this morning? Do you think that was a mistake? Do you think that it was an accident? You'll find one of the things that you'll find that I believe that this is just me. We're going to change it every now and then just to mix things up, just to do things a little bit different, just to get us out of our routine. You know, one of the things that I know, when you are trying to tone muscle or get healthier, if you only work the same muscle, you will actually end up hindering the other muscles in your body. you will overwork one muscle and the other muscles actually become weak and even weaker because you focus. Runners, the reason I say that, because I learned the hard way, runners tend to focus on just a few things. They run. I mean, they just run miles upon, and they can run miles and miles and miles and miles, but then when it comes to lifting up a bag of concrete, don't count on a runner. They can't do it. Right? And then, so yeah, they got strong legs and they got a strong heart muscle, but then they can't do much else. It's never, in other words, there's always other things that need to be exercised. But if you only do the same thing, the same routine all the time, it's not going to happen, church. You see, friend, Martha was distracted. Mary was the most devoted. Christ gave direction. These distractions by life, or we're all distracted by things in life, but the distractions, if we're not careful, can hinder the worship. And then, of course, distractions help us, or cause us, I should say, to miss the main purpose. Friend, let's not get to the place where we're so used to a routine. We're so used to doing things a certain way. And we just can't mix things up or change things up every now and then. Because we're just so set in our ways. That's generally what it is. I think I told you the story, and I'll tell you this. I know I've said it here at least once. I want to share it again. In fact, I'll ask my son or my wife, whoever's going to come to the piano. I remember a sweet lady. Well, I'm being kind. She wasn't always sweet. But because she's gone home to be with the Lord, we'll say a sweet lady. She come in one day. We had put new doors in the back, in the foyer, brand new doors. There was some old metal doors, heavy doors. You've seen those. And we put some glass ones up there. And I think that they had, I can't remember, maybe they were trying to put some frost or something at the name of the church. I don't remember. But they put some new glass doors up. And this lady came in. I was serving as assistant pastor at the time, kind of turning things on, getting things ready. And she came in. She said, "Brother Jaime, I don't like it." I said, "You don't like what, sis?" She says, "I don't like those doors." "Well, what do you mean you don't like the doors? What's wrong with them?" I said, "Do you think they're ugly?" "No, I think they look fine." I said, "Why don't you like?" "I don't know, Brother Jaime. They're just different, and I don't like to change. They're just different, and I don't like to change." I heard another story not that long ago that tells us or reminds us, I guess, that we just don't like to change sometimes, that we're creatures of, we're getting our mind and we're going to be a certain way. There was a fellow who had decided he was going to go on a diet. And on his way to work, close to his work, he passed by a donut shop. Now, how many of you have ever been by one of those things and you roll your window, you can smell it? You walk into the place and your blood sugar raises. You haven't even taken a bite of nothing, but just by whiffing that in, your sugar starts to go high. And he knew that he had to pass this place on his way to work, and he already made a decision and a commitment that he was going to eat better and he'd be healthier. So he said, "I tell you what he decided, this is what I'm going to do. If I drive by that donut shop, and if there's not a spot right in the front door where I can just pull right in and walk right in and get a donut and be on my way, then I'm not going to stop." So sure enough, he goes by there, and 7 times around the block, he finally found a spot, and he pulls right in after 7 tries and gets him a donut. Sorry, son. He had no intentions of changing. He was going to resort back to his old ways and old routine, even if it meant driving 7 times around the block. And friend, if we're not careful, it's exactly what we do. We'll get to the place where, hey, you know what? That sounds good, Pastor. I need to come in and just put everything out of my mind and keep all the distractions. That sounds good. That sounds wonderful. That's what I'm going to do. But then we come back in and do the exact same thing. We've not changed our routine. We've not changed our habits. And friend, by doing that, we are truly, truly missing a blessing from the Lord. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you distracted today, friend? Or do you desire to be devoted? It's easy to get distracted I get there sometimes. I have not perfected that. I still get distracted from time to time. It's easy to do. I get so concerned about making sure things are as they should be. And I forget to worship. I forget to just come and just praise the Lord. It's easy to do. I've been there. Friend, I'm just trying to encourage you and remind you. Let's not get into an old routine. Let's not get into the habit. If you're serving God, if you've opened up your house to Jesus, then praise the Lord. But let's not miss the main thing. Let's not forget to spend time at the feet of Jesus. Because all of us need that, church. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. In fact, the longer you've been a Christian, the more time at the feet of Jesus you realize that you need. Maybe you're here today. Nobody looking around say, Pastor, I have to admit I've been distracted about things. I've been distracted about life. I've been overwhelmed. I've been burdened. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Because I want to be devoted. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. You may put them down. Anybody else say, Pastor, I've been distracted. Pray for me. Pray for me. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Thank you. I see that hand. I've been distracted. But I want to be devoted. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. I do want to invite you to come. We would love nothing more than to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. Friend, if that's you, would you come? Would you come? Or if that's you, would you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Anybody? I don't ever want to assume. I think that's the worst thing, one of the worst things that I can do. I want to always ask. I want to give you the opportunity to receive Christ as your personal Savior. Anybody at all? We're going to pray. Father, we thank you again for allowing us to be here. And Lord, it's so easy for us to get distracted. Lord, it's so easy for us to forget the reason why we're here, why you've called us to be here. And Lord, I just ask, especially for those who lifted their hands and said, Pastor, maybe I've been distracted. I want to lift them up in prayer. Lord, you know their heart. God, you know their sincerity, their desire to want to be more devoted to you. Help us, Lord, to open our home and our hearts to you. We're thankful for the testimony and the scripture that we've seen here, the examples that we've seen. And Lord, my desire is not to be critical of Martha, Lord, because we've been there. I just pray that you'd help us to show more devotion to you. Help us to have that desire to spend time at your feet and just worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church. God bless you. Glad to have you here tonight.